Bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and love to the broken, everyone is welcome at the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Just come as you are. For the next 30 minutes, get ready to be ministered to and touched by an anointed man of God, Brother Charles Pierce.
There's more to the story. They took him out, put him in that truck. And it took 2 days for them people to thaw out. Preached their funerals. Put them in my suits in Marks, Mississippi. I buried 25 suits. I wasn't rich. They didn't have no suits. My wife would pick them out to take these. Some didn't have any underclothes or nothing. Great people. I drank coffee with them. I eat with them. I loved them. I prayed for their sick. I dedicated their babies. Jesus did. Jesus. I just saw the other night Sister Karen and what's her mom's name? Cindy. She went to this prayer meeting at Lawana's house. Ladies' prayer meeting. And oh, she was faithful. I miss her. I miss Dwayne. I miss Brother B.C. I miss the black. Brother Murphy looked like a giant. Sister Francis. I miss so many, I can't even call them. But I miss Cindy. I'm going to preach on just a little bit. Zigzag. And the Lord said, don't quit. You're not too old. You're going to live a while. You know, I can't look at Brother Gray and Cindy and say, it's over for you because you're about the same age. But he said, hold it. And some of you may think, God has done thrown me away. Just because you're a grandparent, a great-grandparent, or you had cancer, or you go to this church and that, hey, God loves you. Just because you don't take the way I preach, that's okay. God loves you. All I can do is preach the way I preach. But to preach that man's funeral and the other man and to see the mother cry and see the daddy, Brother Charles, I don't understand all this. But I'm beginning to understand now Ziglag. They didn't have nothing. No, doors had sheets for doors. Coffee, they just had one or two cups. I'm going to talk to you plain. Some have been rich, increased with goods. Some have had nothing. But it's the way you treat people in your spirit. If you ain't got a broken and a contract spirit to people, I'm not going to bother you. Today is strictly a day of knowing that God is in this house. And that God's going to walk with us, brother. I've been knowing your daddy. I'm knowing you and your wife. But you're here because God sent you here. You're here to hear a message that's really from God. Hallelujah. You may be in a place called Ziglag and enemies and stuff, whatever. He's tried to choke you both down. But the Lord said, I am going to make a way for you and you and you and you and you and you, all of you. He said, you're my children. You're called by my name. You're washed in my blood. I'm your heavenly Father. I love you. Whew. Looking at this, they carried, as Joshua left out, he carried the good things. He carried the Ark of the Covenant. That's God. Represented God. He carried all the stuff that was in that God wanted him to carry. Good stuff. Don't weight yourself down with this world. Weight yourself down with this word. Weight yourself down to this word. Nothing. This word becomes a part of our lives. Prayer becomes a part of our lives. We're missing out because we may not be praying enough. Lord Jesus. So he could not go and fight against Saul, the king of Israel, with the Philistines. But if he'd have went, he might have been killed. Might have, may not. But we found out that Jonathan was killed. We found out that Saul got killed. And his general friend says, don't come. Other general said, he's Israelite. Don't get him to come. It's just not time. He don't understand it. We like him. He's a good friend. We give him a place to live in the middle of enemy territory. I still don't trust him, as they would say, some of them, because he's got that blood of an Israelite in him. There's some folks that are not going to trust you. There's some folks that are not going to understand your walk with God. Some folks are going to say you're lying, not really, to your face. I hope they don't. You didn't get your miracle. You didn't get saved. You didn't get baptized. You didn't obey God. But when you come up and say, all I know is one side blind. All I know is one side blind. Well, your mother and dad, no, they didn't do it. All I know is, what do you know? What do you know about this man, Jesus? What do you know about? All I know, one side blind, and still got him in trouble. He was in Ziklag in another world, another day and time. Can you believe that witness? And all I know, on the Sabbath, whenever he healed me, I'm blind. I've been blind from birth. And you know what they did? Said, are you a follower of his? They meant to trick him. Ziklag is a place of trickery, but it's a place of making you. So if you walk in there today, don't think God has left you. You praying in the altar, sister, worshiping God, that's a blessing. You're going to sense the power of God as you go into your home or your life. And we're praying for those that couldn't make it today because they've had, should I say, things to stop them from coming to the house of God that hurts far deeper than a cut. It'll be embedded in their memories and in their minds for the rest of their lives. Nothing like going to a funeral or a wedding. Some of you here, you know what you've been thinking? I can tell you what you've just about it. Just guessing. Will I be next? A thought. Not a good one. Is this going to get me down or is this going to, hey, I see people 25, 30, 40, 50 years old passing. Lay down that night, feel good, and next morning they're dead. But when I make it right with God, in the time of famine, in the time of trouble, in the time when I was trying to load trucks and unload trucks and get the hair fixed and do all this stuff, work at the bank, decision what God wants me to do. I imagine Sean is in that country called Ziklag. If Sean ever gets to watch this message, I hope it's good for him, that it'll help him. David was there. Every great Paul was there. He said, I knew a man within the flesh. And in Romans, he said, I knew a man within the flesh, out of the flesh. I just knew him. It was him. Paul was that. He said he was called to the third heaven. Come on. Not the second heaven. It is not mentioned about a second heaven. It says third. It's got to be a second somewhere. He was called to the third heaven. He said, I saw things that I could not utter to men. It's beyond my way of telling anybody. I've been shipwrecked. I've been lost in desert. I fell among false brethren. All this has happened to me, to that little Pharisee among Pharisees, called to be an apostle. Wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament. But he was in Ziklag spiritually. But he come to a place that said, if I live, it's okay. But if I gain, I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to the Lord. Some of you sitting right here. I looked, I said to some, they said, well, they got this pollen's been so thick and they've been sick. But there's coming a time, not far from now, that this church is going to bloom like a rose. Not just this building, but other people that are sick in the face of God. God, give me strength. Give my wife strength. Give you strength that we can walk into the promised land, not just up wherever that is, the kingdom, but let us let the kingdom live in us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Ziglag, get you, hallelujah, repentance. Get you question your life. But hold it. Ziglag, he went back when he couldn't go. And guess what? I believe the Amalekites came up, took his wife. In the time you just had, you died all over and then you're dying again. You're dying again. Some of you have been to that place. You say, like, God, I've died again. Lord, that one thing after another, I've died again. Hear me. Hear ye the word of the Lord, because this is scripture. Is it right, Bible teacher? Is it right, church? He said, hear me. And he got back home. His wife had been taken, and I believe the Amalekites had, whatever they were, they took it. They took his donkeys, they took his mules, they took his camels, and he had 500 or 600 mighty men of Valor. They could have killed him. I think they cursed him. I don't know. They said, hallelujah, you're the one that did it. And the Bible, this is encouraging. Come on, this is encouraging. It says, and David, the one that had been cursed by the devil, cursed by the Philistines in one way and blessed again. And then his family's gone, captured. And he fell before the Lord and he said, Lord, help me. And the Lord said, encourage yourself. Don't make a decision when you're tired. I thought that in there. You make a decision when you rested up. Give you scripture for it. You look at Elijah. Angels fed him. Don't you make a decision when you're tired and upset. You get yourself together. And David went before the Lord. He said, oh God, my wife's gone, my children, my mighty men, all their family, everything I've got, I'm bankrupt as far as spiritually, physically. The Lord said, encourage yourself. He said, I'm going to encourage you, David. You go. What should I do? He said, you go. You go where you know you can get bread in the house. You go where you know you can find repentance. You go where you can feel joy. You go where the singing's going to encourage you. You go where the power of God's going to shake you and love you and hug you and say, woo to you. If you can't take this kind of preaching, something's wrong with your taker. Mine too. I listened to Billy Graham the other day and I just sat and wept. I said, you're crazy, preacher. I like what he preached. It was about repentance. He preached me under conviction about repenting. I didn't take what I wanted. I took the word of God. I said, Lord, let me read it for myself. Then I listened to another one. I listened to old brother A.D. Urshan years gone by. And he spoke broken English. And he founded me upon what I truly believe is the word of God. Of staying with the course. Staying with the course. Until you've been there. You got many teachers. You got many apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors. But until you've been to that place of being broke, being crushed, and then the Lord bringing you back to smell like a rose. Oh, they said you never have her as a wife. They said you never have her. But the Lord said, I've spoken and it will be all right. Then David, the Lord said, go and take back everything the enemy's taken from you. Now here he was having to speak to those 600 to 500 mighty men of valor. They were fighters. They were killers if he wanted them to be. They could use the right hand, the left hand. They had it. David didn't want to fall among them. They said, when do you want us to go? Right now, the church is waiting on instructions from the Word of God. When and where do you want us to go? How do you want us to pray? Come on. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Come on. We need bread, Lord. There needs to be bread in the house. There needs to be Holy Ghost. There needs to be power of God in this house. Not just through what we say, but what we do, how we live. God is able to heal your back, your legs. He's able to heal your job. He's all powerful. So the Bible said, I'm going to close it. Done got a little late. The Bible said that David pursued with his mighty men and took back everything and more, because there was an Egyptian that had been left behind. He was sick. He was hurt. He said, tell me where they went and I'll bless you. He said, I'd be glad to. They left me to die. He said, you just go around yonder, turn to the left or the right, and you go across that river or whatever, and they'll be there. That's where they're going. I believe the Lord has sent his gift of the Holy Ghost inside of us to give us direction on which way to go. If we'll ask him, if we'll pray to him, and the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to us, we're in the world, but we're not of it. This is being taped. It's going across the world. It's going to you. People that are not of your tribe, when I say that nicely, they're not going to really fellowship with you. They're not going to laugh at your jokes. They're not going to eat with you. They don't mean any harm in it. It's just life. Did you know some people don't like me like this? You ain't got to put a sign, I don't like you. I just sense it. It ain't strong suspicion. Just sense it. I don't fool with it. The Bible said, if you like somebody and they come in your house bringing peace, said, you let them bless your house. Let them be, hallelujah. But if they don't come in peace, how's that go? If they don't come in peace? And I believe right now, David came in peace. Lord, you made my enemies become at peace with me. Lord, my children out there, somebody's got my kids, somebody's got my wives, somebody's got all my camels, and Lord, my men are upset, and Lord, I didn't even get to go fight, and Lord, you might have saved my life. I don't know. I just know that several of them died. I know David had an appointment to fulfill. But there's times that you may feel left out. God said, just don't do that, because I got a divine appointment for you. Well, I want this job. I don't want this job. Hold on. Just pray, seek the face of God, and let's watch the Lord work it out for you. And me too. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't abandon your call. I know that today is a different day, but I know it's the same God. It seems like we take phases of different things in churches among believers, people that's really born again people. I've been to this church and they'd be hopped up about this. But when you come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Ghost goes before you. I'll tell this and I'll stop. I'll try to. I was going from Bahia up close to Memphis in a church. And the Lord had called me to go to Louisiana. He gave me a dream, a vision. He said, you go to this preacher. He said, you go to this place. He said, don't go past that Bayou Den Road. This is Louisiana. He said, if they ask you to preach, he said, things are going to be great. He said, but don't go past Bayou Den Road. I believe if he calls you and says, come, the Spirit said, come, the bride said, come, the Word of God said, come, and you feel to come, and you sense to come, come. I believe he can talk to you in night parables of dreams. I believe he can give you visions. I believe he can give you different, should I say, just don't go that way today. Something inside said, don't go that way. Obey it. What have you lost? Hallelujah. This other way may be better. I'm hoping, praying. You listen to the power of God in you. If there's ever a time that we need to repent, I'm going to close this. I said it was. I called everybody, every dignitary I could up. They said, you go ahead. Nobody's got clean slate. You go there. I won't get too deep on this. I'm not bitterness. We went to the church, and the church was packed out with 1,000 people every night, seemed like. Matter of fact, he had blueprints that you walked into the foyer, and before we left there, we was getting the church paid for. So why can't you tell them here? When the power of God truly moves in Meridian at the Peace Tabernacle and people obey God, you'll see a new building and new people come in here. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. Oh, so many miracles. But in that church, we preached for weeks. One night I had a dream. A vision, a night colors, the sprinkling of the Shekinah glory in that dream. I saw the Lord. I mean, you know, I saw the theophany. I saw the power of God. And he said, I'm going to bless you, but these demons have got to go. There's a certain family going to leave this church. Give me. And I began to go out the door of a bus or trailer, whatever it was in, with my wife, and as I went out, there were snakes all through. I was walking on deadly snakes. And I looked down, there was a ravine, it was cut, and the dirt was thrown up, and there was a big old log down there, log, L-O-G. And I was going to run that way to get to the church, to the parking lot, because them snakes was everywhere. And as I began to run toward that log, all at once I saw the eye blink. And it turned over. I rebuked it in the name of the Lord, and we started to go another way, and I saw a big name written across. It said, I will take care of this family. You leave it alone. Now, you think I've lost it. This God that we serve, the true God of Israel, the true God of Book of Acts, the true God of all the Word of God, he can speak to you because you're a son of God. Come on, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. If you're not, you need to be before you leave here today. There's nothing our Jesus cannot take care of. There's nothing the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost cannot fill you with if you want to repent, get his name, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to tell you that's the way the first church preached. Preached. And I believe if we go by the pattern and shoot from the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, we'll not miss the mark. I'm looking at all of this. I don't want to miss the kingdom, the heaven. I want to hear him say, well done, Charles. Well done, Charles. Well done, saints of God. Well done. You serve me well over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. I'm wondering right now where some people are that's not dead. Don't tell me death don't shake you. But resurrection will put you further up the ladder with the Lord than death. I got an appointed time. God's been good to me. David took back everything he's supposed to take back. And all his men were happy. They got their wives back. They got all the animals back. They took him more gold and more food. More. It may seem like, God, I ain't going to get what back what I used to have with my youngins and my grandchildren. But the Lord said, I'll repay you. You seek me first, and my kingdom and everything will come back to you. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. You say, well, I've heard that before. We better not have any more wake-up calls than what we've already had. We've got situations in the incubator right now with sick people, with people that seems like dying. Cannot Jesus Christ, cannot the Holy Ghost heal them? Come on, can it do it? How many miracles you've seen? How many really miracles you've seen in your life, the Lord? I've seen people die. Don't blame me. God is the one that does the healing. There has to be a balance of faith and expectation. I can't explain it. All I know is it works. You stick your finger in a light socket, and if the juice is on, you're going to get it. If the juice is off, you ain't going to feel nothing. Well, I feel nothing. Well, it turns you, oh, hi, I feel it. Your hair's going to light up. Your bald headed, you may grow some. You know, years gone by, and they used to give shock treatments in hospitals. That's to make your mental capacity better. I don't like shock treatments. I've seen my family and people that had shock treatments. And I saw one lady years gone by a long time ago. Blood run out of her nose. That's to make her mentally better. I've preached in this same asylum. You think I'm crazy? I've been out there preaching while they've been dancing together. Come on, sister. Croft, you've been there. When the gates will just rattle. Them spirits will just rattle. I won't get in there. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't go to the second dimension. That's out of your league. Some people say, no. And then, hey, you better believe me. Believe this word. Paul said, I was called to the third heaven. I saw things. Study that second dimension. That's where the fallen angels. You may get there. You may not want what you get. That may be some of the things you got in your life right now you're dealing with. I'm going to take it by force. You better make sure that you got the anointing and the authority to do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, rebuke it. And the precious blood sprinkled on it, poured on it. And the offering accepted. Now, the next thing I'm going to throw in is my notebook. That's it. That's it. Trinity, you've heard of an old-time preacher. And you got one of my great-grandchildren. And no telling what great things he's going to do for God. Two of them. The Lord has laid it on my heart, but not tonight, not today. He said, I want you to lay hands on every one of your children and grandchildren and those that want it. He said, to impart a blessing. Churches have not got a father image. Oh, or most of our kids are a mother image. Mothers, daddies, fathers, bless your children. He said, well, I'm not worthy. Bless your children. Take the word of God and say, by the blood of Jesus, I'm blessing you through your word. I'm blessing you. Lord, what I've got, I want them to have more. I believe this helps. I believe a lot of these cancer spirits and a lot of these suicidal spirits and all these spirits will leave. I believe you'll get the right mate. Are you ready to stand up? Now, I'm going to say this. Anybody here want to pray?
You have been
been listening to Pastor Charles Pierce of the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Pastor Pierce and the Revival Center would like to invite you to attend service Sundays at 2 p.m., Tuesday prayer at 10 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or contact us at 601-693-9879, or go to www.kingdompeace.org.